walking through a game park, and they come across a lion that has not eaten for days. The lions start chasing the two men. They run as fast as they can, and the one guy gets tired and decides to say a prayer to God for protection. Please turn this lion into a believer. He looks to see if the lion is still chasing, and he sees a lion on its knees. Happy to see his prayer answered, he turns around and heads towards the lion. As he comes closer to the lion, he hears the lion saying a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the food I am about to receive. Sometimes prayers are answered in not ways we expect. For the next 7 weeks, I'd like to invite you on a journey with me that will hopefully draw all of us closer into knowing God intimately. We will be exploring concepts in a book, one of my favorite books, called How to Know God by Deepak Chopra. Anyone read it? Oh, good. All right. It's all new. It's a book that has been praised by Catholics, Protestants, Hindus, Buddhists, scientists, Muslims, by all seekers of the sacred. Deepak is not only a medical doctor, but a man of great spiritual depth, who seeks to help humanity understand ourselves at our most profound level, and therefore enter into a deeper understanding of the source of all that is. Deepak is not concerned about any particular religious beliefs, although he quotes in his book from the different various religions. But he also quotes scientific thinkers, and he moves across all religious lines to comprehend the human experience of the divine intelligence behind the universe. In his book, he's outlined 7 stages of how our human mind begins to comprehend and experience that which we call God. He explains that as we undergo our human experience, our mind comprehends God through 7 different perspectives, 7 different stages, each one drawing us closer into fulfillment or union with God. So here is the overview of the 7 weeks. So stage 1, which we're going to explore today, we're understanding God as the protector. In stage 2, we understand God the Almighty. Moving through to stage 3, God of peace. Stage 4, God the Redeemer. Stage 5, God the Creator. Stage 6, God of miracles. And stage 7, God of pure being, I am. I hope that sounds like a great 7 weeks to you, as we draw closer and closer into entering into that 7th stage of pure being. But before we explore stage 1 of knowing God, God as protector, I want to share with you something that is foundational for Chopra. Chopra reminds us that most major religions, and more recently science, are in agreement of a new model of how the universe operates. You know, at one time, the earliest model was we had Earth in the middle, hell below, and heaven above. Right? That was side of the model out of which a lot of religious thinkers operated. He said, we're now operating out of a new model. And he said, in religious language, it looks like the model on the left. You have God, you have transition zone, you have material world. So basically, material world is the earth. The transition zone, where heaven and earth and the mystical and the mystery kind of interweave, and we have glimpses or experiences of the sacred, and then you have God, the sacred. There's that movement, and they move in and out of one another. He said science has come to operate on a similar model, where you have, he said, quantum physics and Einstein and other thinkers that have come along since Einstein, we have the physical reality, the Earth, then we have quantum reality, and then virtual reality. And he said, it's a problem with language. He said, I'm not talking about virtual reality where you put those glasses on and you have the whole other experience. It's not a real reality. It's like a movie playing before you. He said, I'm not talking about that. And he explains it as the physical reality is the world of objects and events that you and I experience every day, that which our five senses take in, what we can see and hear and taste and smell and touch. He said the quantum reality or the transition zone is where energy turns into matter. And he explains that the material world has long since dissolved for the great quantum thinkers. After Einstein recognized that time and space were fluid and merged into each other, the traditional view of the universe couldn't hold up. Because he said, at the quantum level, nothing of the material world is left intact. Science reveals that at the atomic level, all physical things are 99.99999 infinite percent empty. He said, you hold up your hand and 99.9% of it is empty. It's moving vibration. We're all a hologram. He said, we can never capture an electron since it too breaks down into energy vibrations that wink in and out of existence millions of times per second. Just sort of like a movie. You know, like when watching a movie, that's really not real, right? But it looks real. But it's just moving particles. He said, the entire universe. The whole universe, he says, is a quantum mirage, winking in and out of existence millions of times per second. And he says, and when we go beyond all vibration, there is nothing, only a void. He says, this is the womb of creation, infinitely alive and dynamic. In the Gospel of Thomas, Jesus says it this way, I shall give you what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard and what no hand has touched and what has never occurred to the human mind. Jesus was trying to tell us that the mystery of God is all around us and cannot be seen or touched or sometimes even understood, only experienced and lived into and celebrated. What it's like, he said, then, for us who live in this physical reality and think that all that there is what we can see and touch and feel with our five senses, he says, is what then we are now beginning to understand is we can, and we have the capacity when we have moments when we enter into the transition zone or the quantum reality and we have glimpses or experiences of knowing what we would call God, that infinite intelligence. And I'm going to give you an example of a story he tells of what it's like this transition zone or quantum reality actually exists. So a friend of Deepak Chopra's knew John Lennon very well and was a gifted singer and continued to grieve his passing. And one night she had a dream in which John Lennon came to her and showed her an image from the past when they were together. Waking up, she was so inspired, she decided to write a new, very intimate song based on her dream. Yet, in the cold light of day, she began to have doubts about her experience and the meaning of the dream. And so when Deepak happened to visit her shortly after, a couple of nights after she'd had the dream, she was voicing her doubts and began to say to him, well, after all, it was only a dream, right? Maybe I'm making too much of it. He said, at that exact moment after she'd uttered those words, her three-year-old ran into the room and plopped himself onto a chair in the corner, and he happened to land on the remote control for the television, which came on suddenly. And on the screen, amazingly, they saw a nostalgia program that was being aired featuring John Lennon and my friend, he said, smiling into the camera, caught in the exact moment she had witnessed in her dream. He said she burst into tears and she got her answer and decided she would write her song for John Lennon. Now, how do you explain that? He said, you can't explain it, right? She has a dream a couple nights earlier. She's sharing the dream to Chopra. Her three-year-old happens to run in, jumps on the remote, the flash on the TV of the picture, what she saw in her dream. The world between this one and quantum reality and virtual reality, it's moving in and out all the time. There is no separation. That's what Jesus was always trying to teach us. I'm with you always, even to the close of the age. God is among us. God is that mystery. We are connected. We are in touch. We are not separate from anyone. We're all one. This interaction took place in the transition zone of the quantum reality. Now he says, a message arrived from a deeper place than we usually go. To say that it came from spirit or God is totally justified, but the human brain also played its part, for the incident began with everyday brain processes, thoughts, emotions, dreams, doubts, that finally crystallized into inspiration. So Chopra reminds us there are seven ways we can begin to make connections within and beyond our physical reality and enter into the transition zone to experience the presence of God. And we can experience that presence in the seven ways. So today I'd like to explore stage one, God as protector. This began at the earliest stage of human existence, when humans, especially at the beginning on time on planet, a world full of danger, right? Disease, death, the same world we live in. Those who see God through the lens of stage one often see the world as dangerous, against which they need to always be vigilant. They understand God as judgmental, as meting out reward and punishment, as vengeful, as capricious, healing some, not others, quick to anger, jealous, unfathomable, and sometimes merciful, and also sometimes loving and benevolent. When we are living out of stage one, our first response to the danger of life is fear, and we undergo the fight or flight response. As human beings, you and I have all experienced the experience of fear. Who in this room has not felt afraid? Has not felt afraid? Perhaps we've experienced and heard a frightening diagnosis, or heard news of loss or catastrophe, or we've been in terrible danger, or been concerned with an unknown future. Anything that threatens our physical survival sends us immediately into a state of fear. That's our first response to danger. It's put in us. We're wired. It's a protective mechanism. It is in those times that our mind instinctively reaches out for help and protection from an invisible force beyond our own. We reach out to the God as protector, the one whom we hope can shelter us from the harm. Ancient Psalms are full of words asking God for protection from harm. We listened to the words that Anne just read, Psalm 16 a few moments ago, that begins, "Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge." When we are afraid, we seek a God to protect us from physical harm. Only sometimes it seems that we're not always protected. We're not always protected from physical illness or catastrophes or loss or grief. We do not always feel protected by an unseen force. Bad things happen. And it is a sense then that we feel that the invisible God has somehow failed us. Atheists can be born out of stage one. If we never move beyond that first perspective of God as protector. I remember the first time I prayed, really prayed for protection, was for my grandmother when I was 21, and she just suffered a massive heart attack. She'd been healthy and wonderful up to that point, suffered a massive heart attack, and her kidneys shut down. And the doctors told us that she was going to die. So, me and my faith, I prayed for a miracle. And when no miracle came, and she died, I stopped praying to God, and I stopped going to church. If God can't protect you, who needs God? In my mind, because I was living out of stage one of God as protector, if God didn't protect, then God no longer existed. Deepak Chopra tells a story of a young father whose 12-year-old daughter was just diagnosed with a terminal cancer, and Chopra said to him, "We are all praying for her." But the father responded, "How can I pray to a God who allowed this to happen?" When God becomes the perpetrator and not the protector, it is difficult to draw close. I understand the father's initial response. He was, as Chopra says, in fight or flight. I'm sure there are times in your lives when you have felt betrayed by God as protector. But then, if we do not give up on God as protector and we continue to reach out and try to connect with God and ask for help, then we feel moments when we move into the quantum reality or transition zone to experience an inexplicable strength and emerging from deep within that wasn't there before. The experience of being carried and held. And that is moving to another stage. Our prayer chain at Knox prays for people every day. And in that state of prayer, people will tell the prayers, "I have felt carried and strengthened." And healings happen, and miracles occur. But they're often only recognized by those who are being prayed for and by those who are doing the praying, because they have entered other stages of consciousness beyond the physical reality that we'll be exploring in the weeks ahead. Our scripture from Isaiah reminds us this morning that in those times when we are afraid and in the primal stages of our brain in fight or flight, in a state of panic, it is in those times that if we are open and not shut down, that we can experience an invisible, loving force surrounding us. God reaching out to us and saying, "Do not be afraid, for I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, and you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not be afraid. I am with you." Ultimately, this passage is not talking about our physical bodies. God does not promise always to protect our physical bodies. It is our souls which are promised ultimate protection. Our souls which come from the virtual reality. that are immortal. For it is our souls that are born out of the deep void of God's womb that dwells in the virtual reality of time and space. In my favorite book, Destiny of Souls, when Michael Newton hypnotizes people and they are able to, their souls are able to cross over into the other dimension of virtual reality. When they experience God, they experience two things. They have witnessed a womb birthing souls out of deep love, a love that is indescribable. And the other thing they experience in that virtual reality is a love so deep, a presence, they call it with a capital P, a love so deep and so wide that there is no fear. That's what God promises, to not only protect our souls, but to be present with us through it all. Lo, I am with you always, says Jesus, even to the close of the age. We are never alone, as John Lennon's friend discovered. Heaven's love surrounds us and continues to inspire us if we only open our eyes and hearts to receive. May it be so.